Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everyone. So, when I had contact with the folks at Church Retreat, they said there were 41 up there, not counting those that just came up for the day. So that's a pretty significant number. Ours are reduced, but all these smiling faces, this has got to be good. And as they have their worship up there and us down here together, what a blessed thing that our church can do both. I want to thank our servers and those that led in the worship. It's a wonderful thing when we can gather to praise our Lord. Easter, we're going to divert from our normal practice of having a series of lessons and think about our visitors and make it something that will bless and encourage them. So, I want to talk to you this morning about this. Confidence in the midst of stress. The question is, how can we have confidence when we face uncertainty or disease or distress or conflict? Well, that's the subject of today's lesson, and the primary scripture is Psalm 46. So if you turn your Bibles to that, we'll be working out of there, and then we'll have some additional shorter scriptures, but primarily that one. We see our modern world as the days of anxiety. People generally do that. A time when self-reliance can break down. And with life in a world filled with anxiety, we struggle with this. But you know, there were times of greater anxiety than this. For example, World War II was a time of anxiety. And some of our seniors can tell us all about that. And families would sit down every night and turn on their radio and listen anxiously to the broadcasts of battles in the Pacific and in Europe, anxious to hear about what was happening with their neighbor, what was happening with their family member on board a ship or an aircraft or in a military unit. Were the American forces winning or losing? And if we lost, the world was lost. It would have been catastrophic to have lost that war. And so they prayed for all, especially their soldier, sailor, marine, member of the Coast Guard, or the Air Force. Certainly an anxious time. One person who was 7 years old in 1944 said he was a second grader, and he reported that one day his teacher came in with a real serious look on her face and her books in the bag, and she left her books in the bag and set them down on a table and reached in and pulled out her Bible, and she said, "Today we're going to do something different." And as he looked at the teacher, he could tell she was ready to cry. And later she revealed her husband was in a unit in an army division that had been under attack and was mauled by the enemy. And she was afraid that he was killed or wounded and was concerned about him and his unit, his fellow soldiers. She feared. We have times when we fear. You know, and some of the things we are most fearful of are those things we have no control over. That's part of the frustration. But we know who does. The living God has control. And instead of being self-reliant, we need to be God-reliant. And we need to practice that in big things and small things, because you see, that's the key. That's the key to know our God, to be in constant communication, aware of Him, having triggers during your day that remind you, I belong to Him. I don't have to work out the whole solution to this problem. I can relax in the arms of the Lord and trust Him to lead me if I ask Him. And even when it looks like things are not going well, if I trust Him, if I humble myself before Him, give Him the glory, He'll lead me through it. We can have every confidence in that. God promises that to His children. Triggers that set us off can be short-term, such as work deadlines or a fight with a loved one, or long-term, like being unable to work, unable to find a job, or chronic illness. And it can cause physical symptoms, mental symptoms, irritability, anger, fatigue, muscle pain, digestive problems, can't sleep. So let's talk about confidence in the midst of stress. So how do believers cope with stress? God's answer is this: cease striving and know that God is in control. Our passage is Psalm 46. Let's look at that. Verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire, and he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This psalm gives us a powerful picture of the Lord, and even the tumultuous parts, God saying, the desolations he has brought on the earth. See what the Lord has done. Are only there, I believe, to show us his magnificent power. The same power that he has at work within you with the Holy Spirit. He is our strength when we are weak. We all feel weak at times. He is our very ready help in trouble. Verse 1. Very ready. God is anxious, prepared to help you with your difficulty. But we need to take it to him. We need to lay it at his feet and not pick it back up again, put it back on our shoulders, and try to carry it ourselves. He didn't build us for that. He's the one who has the strength to carry our burdens, no matter how difficult. He is the God of Jacob, who is our stronghold. And what is a stronghold but a place where we're secure, a place where we don't have to worry about the enemy coming in? He is our stronghold. There is no other place that is safe, only in the living God. In these two verses, we also see the name Lord with small capitals, which indicates that the names of Yahweh or Jehovah is being used, which means absolute in faithfulness. Who else is absolute or completely trusted in faithfulness? People will let you down. God will never, ever let you down. He's also called the Lord or angel of the armies, commander of the armies, or of heaven's hosts, verses 7 and 11. And it's there to tell us that he wants to fight our battles. We don't have to get even. We don't have to have a great answer. We can give it to God, and it will be amazing. Because along with all of this, in the midst of tumult, in the midst of stress, he gives us peace. And it's not peace like the world understands, which is the complete absence of conflict. That's peace. You take a few deep breaths, and then something else happens. His peace is peace within the conflict, where you can walk through it, go through it with peace in your heart. You may be troubled, but God has that peace, and it's only in him. And look at it this way. Whenever something happens and it's difficult and it's hard, ask the Lord, what are you trying to build in my life through this? As I face this difficulty, do you want greater humility from me? Do you want greater trust? You want me to understand that you have a perfect plan for my life, and it might not have included this detour that's causing me trouble. Maybe the detour is the way forward in shaping your character to be like that of his son, Jesus Christ. And when you're facing conflict, ask yourself this question. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has all power, all authority, and at the same time is gracious and gentle and kind with you? When things happen that are too difficult for us, God is our only source. Is God using them to change your life? To deal with sin? Remember, David said in a psalm to be forgiven of the sins of his youth. If that was what was on his heart, bring those things before God. And as he cleans them up through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can count on that blood, not once when you're baptized, but all throughout your Christian walk, if you're walking with him. Maybe you're doing better than I am, but it's important every day. A former elder here used to say, in the evening, on my bed, he said, I sum up the day. Did I walk with God? Did I do the right things? And to be able to sleep knowing that sins are forgiven and tomorrow is a brand new day that he has created for us. We can take joy in that. Well, God can give us victory over all things, including feelings of loss. He can change our circumstances, but mostly he wants to change your heart. That's why things happen. He'll walk with you through illness or pain, and he'll bring peace and joy into your life. Psalm 18 has some similar images. And here the Lord is telling us that he is our strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my salvation, my Savior, the shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So he's saying here, trust in me, rest in me. You don't have to fight or struggle. The battle is the Lord's. Our salvation is his workmanship, but we have to allow ourselves to be changed by him. He's the master craftsman, and we're the craft. And as he shapes us, we might say, ouch, that's real painful, or don't do this. But if we allow him to have his will and his way with us, we'll be lifted up and we'll be made like his son. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. That's what he wants to do. He's a burden bearer. Who else can do this? Not even our closest friends and people we trust. They can help, but only God can carry our burdens. You need to have a relationship with him in which you get to know him by spending time with him. That is the key. So important. You know, we want to be with our friends, so we make time with them. How are we doing with God? Are we making time for him? To spend time with him. He desires to spend time with you. And he needs to be a priority in our daily living. We can always make time in our schedules for things we really care about. We need to get to know how he thinks. And we can do that by Bible study and by experience in praying and trusting in him. Do you want to be strong in the faith? Do you want to have a victorious life? There aren't any shortcuts. No plan B. It's trusting in Christ. You may say to yourself, well, I'd like to see this church move ahead on some things. So, what you can change is yourself. What can I do? I can be more dedicated. I can come to and participate more in the church. I can help more. I can serve. Many of you are doing a fabulous job of doing just that. Thank you. Here's a breakdown of Psalm 68, verse 19. Praise be to the Lord. We need to express reverence and gratitude to God because he is a holy God. He is the only God. And Jesus is our friend, but he's also our Savior and God. And this should be reflected in our prayers. To God our Savior, this identifies God as the source of deliverance and protection, who daily bears our burdens, we've talked about, and emphasizing God's constant support and care for his people. Always there. One of our military services has this as a motto, always ready, always there. But God really is, always. John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, that you may have life and have it to the full. In Christ, we're not just getting by anymore, but living deep, rich, victorious lives in relationship with the living God. John 14:27, Jesus states, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Here he's promising a peace that transcends worldly understanding and encourages his followers to remain steadfast in faith, even amid challenges. Have you ever thanked God for the burdens and the trials in your life? Because they keep you reliant, depending upon God. You know, he puts those in our lives to liberate us from our dependence on ourselves. They come and we draw close to the Father, and that allows us to know him better. And they help you experience his power and his grace. You know, we all experience stress in our lives. Sometimes we look at other people and think, why don't they have any stress like I do? They do. They do. We're all people here and we all share that. And in our own lives, we may be facing a time of chaos or personal crisis or simply dealing with pressures of modern life, family issues, our own physical problems, emotional problems. And perspective really matters. If we can see like God sees, that's what we need to pray for. What's the purpose of this? Charles Dickens, in his book, A Tale of Two Cities, described the dichotomy of life and how we look at it in two ways, the two cities. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incongruity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We need to choose. Do we pursue the light, or do we stay in the darkness? We don't want stress to turn into distress. No matter what the external pressures are, the real battle takes place internally. And we want God to be the victor. Sometimes our mind tells us what we should do. Maybe the Spirit prompts us as what to do, but our emotions pull us in a different direction. And it's tempting to simply walk away from stressful situations, and sometimes God leads us out of the internal civil war. But this God who daily bears our burdens, who is striving and contending with us and helping us to be formed into the likeness of his Son, he can help you to walk victoriously and peacefully. The key is to know him. A lot of people say they know God, and in a sense they do. They've made him their Savior, were baptized, and received forgiveness for their sins, but they don't walk in power because they don't ask God for power, and they're not spending time with him. So spending time with him in prayer, so important. I'm just going to mention a few that are mentioned in our Bible, and I think they're there to encourage us. Samuel cried out to the Lord on the battlefield at war with the Philistines in 1 Samuel. Nehemiah prayed in the palace of the king while in the king's presence. That's significant. In front of the king in Nehemiah. From a deep pit or a dungeon, the writer of Lamentations called on the name of the Lord. And Jonah prayed from the fish's belly. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, believed to be a garden or olive grove in Matthew. He withdrew into the wilderness to pray in Luke. He went to a mountain to spend the night in prayer, In Mark 1:35, the Bible records that Jesus got up very early in the morning, even before daylight, and went out to a solitary place to pray. At his execution by stoning, Stephen prayed for himself and for his executioners. Peter went to a rooftop to pray. Devout women, including Lydia, met regularly to pray by the riverside. Paul prayed by the seashore with the Christians at Tyre as he said farewell to them. Why is this important? Because God's message to us is, that's the way I'm going to relate to you. That's the way you can access my power. That's the way you can have peace and hope. That's the way I can bless you, my child. You know, no one can lift us out of distress and quiet our spirits the way he can. You know what happened when he said, "Peace be still"? The storm stopped. And the storm within us can stop. But with him, as we walk with him, we can thrive in any situation that we find ourselves in life. There is one exception. No one should tolerate abusive behavior or treatment or any other situation that the Lord tells you to leave. But everything else, he'll walk with us through it, and he'll walk with us through that too. So when do we get our best glimpses of God? When we're talking to him, when we're reading his word. And it's vitally important to quiet ourselves before our Creator and ask him to reveal himself. If you want to get out of a state of inner turmoil, seek to rest in the Lord and trust him to handle the situation for you. Our Heavenly Father will enable you to face anything confidently and victoriously. Not only that, but you'll come out of the trial knowing him better and loving him more. So we have two choices: continue to strive internally against our challenges, or to rest in the arms of our Savior. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, says 1 Peter, that he may lift you up in due time or at the right time. His way, his timing, his blessing for his children. This morning, we're going to offer an invitation. And if you want to put Christ on in baptism and you're at that point of your life, we want to help you with that. And if you just need the prayers of this congregation to help you to go before the throne room of our Lord and access him, we're willing to do that as well and glad to do it. So let's be standing for our invitation hymn. Thank you.